This man off the football field and on the football field at BYU. Has anyone beaten that record? Have you run the fastest 100 meters at BYU ever at that 10-3?
Oh, heavens no. I'm number.
What number are you? Oh, yeah, like that's right.
There's a couple guys in the nines. 9-9.
Frank Fredericks.
Frank Fredericks has the number
but
one.
Being a football player as well, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Football/track, you're the fastest.
Yeah,
I'll give that.
Board. Yeah, thank you. We need to make a separate board for that.
We should, but you're number six overall, which is still pretty dang fast.
No, I don't know.
Top 10?
Top 10.
Yeah, I'll take top 10 in all time.
Not top five, top 10.
Owner of Utah Speed Academy. He works my nephew out. We're trying to make him into a Division I athlete one of these days. We'll see how that goes. But comes from good genetics. Jake Schoaf's posterity.
Yeah.
And obviously the Criddle posterity or the Criddle gene. So this the mongoose / Schoaf gigantus. What?
Gargantuan. Yeah.
He's gargantuan. How's everything going, Nate?
Good. Just things are good. Business is good. Coming off an ankle sprain from some hero in church ball that tried to block my shot. But other than that, things are good.
He came down on top of his foot after he was trying to block you?
He just made me spin in the air, and you should have a segment just on church ball, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
I would come in here and just to teach guys
just
to
let it go. This is for cardiovascular.
I play church ball because there was a guy who I was guarding, and he was guarding me, and he tripped me, and I fell down on my elbows, and I didn't break him, but it was close to it.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, I was assigned to be his home teacher.
There you go. It brings the competitive nature out in you, all that repression that you have. Is it maybe a church member?
I play soft, man. I don't want that to happen. So
sure.
If
you want to play hoops and you just want to get in shape, you can come play with our little group of former football players. We'll invite you next time. You get to guard Keel.
I'll take Keel because
he's overly physical and no one wants to guard him. Vic Soto doesn't want to guard him. Dennis Pitta doesn't want to guard him. And so you can guard him instead.
I'll guard him.
I typically just jump on his back and foul him. So there you have it. Nate, you trained Brian Keel in his starts and with some speed work. I thought he looked pretty dang good at the pro day. I think he would have liked to run maybe a hair faster like all athletes, but I think he ran a pretty dang good time for, a seven-year veteran now of the NFL?
Yeah, I was impressed the way he looked. He said he was only a couple tenths off his pro day time. A couple hundreds off from his pro day time when he ran, just graduating from BYU. So he had a little tweak, hip flexor, psoas thing happened somewhere else a week before pro day, so that might have hindered him a little bit, but he looked really good.
You were at the pro day. What did you think of the overall performances from these young men? Jordan Leslie, Rob Daniel, there were some tremendous performances, I thought.
Yeah, they looked good. I was impressed. I didn't think that they would show that well. Talked to some other guys that were at the Utah pro day the day before, said that BYU players looked a lot better just overall. Just the group looked a lot better. I don't know if it had to do with the outfits and the lights.
Yeah,
but
the
it looked great.
The overall event and it was aesthetically pleasing. It was very organized, right? I mean, what was your pro day like, Nate?
Oh my gosh,
cold, just outside.
Yeah, no, we actually came inside, which I didn't want to come inside because I'd rather run faster outside on the hard turf. But it was like my pro day was like a extension of a practice, like a no helmet, no pad practice, just out there in your shorts and your cutoff shirt. And
like, let's have at it.
Yeah, let's go. It was a little bit jealousy towards, for us former players to see all the gear they got.
Well, you see the swag, right? I had Brian Logan come on, and he was like, are you kidding me, Mick? Really? That's what you're doing for these guys nowadays? This is awesome.
I can't even turn in my gloves, Mick, and you're giving these
guys. And you're giving these guys this swag. I mean, I thought it was on point. They look great, and overall, great performances. Kudos to all those that train these young men, Jordan Pendleton and those that went out of state. I thought overall it was a great experience. But at your pro day, what was your 40 time, Nate?
They don't really tell you.
Ever get anything back from them?
I heard back that it was in the 4.2s and low 4.3s. I was coming off the injury, so I didn't feel the best, but wasn't like my time before the year before. But coming off of two broken arms, you gotta have a pretty stellar
collegiate career. When Nate was playing with two broken arms, he had two casts on his arms. What games did you play with two casts?
So I played with one cast the whole season. The first game I broke it, so the next game was in cast, and then they wouldn't let me play again with two broken arms. I broke the second arm of the fifth game, homecoming, and they wouldn't let me play again until the bowl game against Cal, and had a still have a plate and six screws in one arm. And
do you ever wish you would have stuck with wide receiver?
Yes, every day. if there's one thing that you can put me in the time machine, the Napoleon Dynamite time machine, I would go back.
So who was behind you, Nate, that he couldn't beat you out with two broken arms?
You know what? I'm glad you're the first person that's asked me, besides my own mind, that question. Because I was thinking, man, like, why am I still out here? Like, I feel bad. You know, I had good teammates. You know, Ben Criddle was, if Criddle wasn't over there, all started on the prep team. And was it redshirt year?
So I asked a redshirt because Bronco told me I wouldn't see the field. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go ball out on the scout team then.
You should have.
But I think what would have happened that Notre Dame game, I think they would have had me maybe come in and give it a shot because no one else could stop Notre Dame football players.
That was the game after my second break.
That was the game after. So you weren't playing.
I was watching that from the sidelines. I made the trip out there, which was
Justin Robinson had like a broken ankle.
Yeah.
So we had to put in Chris Hale,
Justin, which are both four foot 11, both of them.
But good athletes.
They're awesome athletes. But the receivers at Notre Dame that year were just monsters.
So you had Maurice Stovall and Jeff Samardzija, and then Brady Quinn.
Samardzija was 6'7" almost, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, they set records that day.
Yes.
I'm just glad I was watching it from home. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, that was rough.
I don't think I could have helped that much anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't know. But going back to your question, Dick, it was kind of, I was recruited. I won't even say I was recruited. I got a weird travel log to BYU, but I was a receiver. And same thing. There was a couple JC guys that I think if they would have come in, they would have played ahead of me at corner. You know, maybe I would have been able to go back to receiver like Eddie Scipio. And there's a couple guys that never panned out. And, I think they were going out for those bigger. I'm a receiver. You know, I don't look like a DB, one of those quick, thick guys side to side like Criddle, the mongoose.
I don't know about that. I'm not that thick right now, but
but that, definitely looking skinny these days. That was strange. Right. Those times, everybody says, BYU's defensive backs are always the ones you got to find. You got to worry about, which is totally fine. Obviously, I mean, look at me. I had a broken arm and I had to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with just scheme and training too. I mean, look, as far as your athleticism is concerned, if you line up Nate Solberg with a guy like Rob Daniel, who is considered one of the best athletes to come through BYU during the Bronco Mendenhall tenure, I think you'd say, "Oh, Nate Solberg's just as athletic or more athletic than Rob Daniel in the 40. Pro agility, vertical. I mean, it's just and ultimately, what do they look at most? The 40." So if you run a 4.2 and Rob Daniel runs a 4.4, it's like, "Oh, Nate Solberg, I'll take me some Solberg." Right. But a lot of it has to do with scheme and a lot has to do with training. And, speaking on that scheme, I mean, we ran a 3-3-5. So you have a wide receiver being converted over to defensive back, a position he has rarely, if ever played in high school. And you're saying, okay, now you have to run backwards and react to the wide receiver. It doesn't come very quickly. Oh. And if you don't have like a tutor, like mentoring you like daily on technique and what to look for, it's almost impossible.
Well, I started getting comfortable.
Just my senior year.
Before you got injured. And then I got injured. Like seriously, my junior year, I felt like it was kind of like, I'm kind of slowing down. I'm getting there. Yeah, the game's slowing down a little bit. And then the first game, Boston College break my wrist. And then everything was just coming back from injury. So it was tough. I wish I would have had that senior year. I would have been okay, having a full senior year healthy. I think I would have done okay, but definitely could catch a long ball too.
what you train guys to be fast, right?
Right.
What couple of things that you do to help them to develop that speed? High knee kick, starts. I mean, starts. You could make such a great difference in just starts.
Yep. That's the meat and potatoes of my business is the starts and the technique and form. Those are the things that most athletes need in any sport, whether it's coming out of the batter's box to first base. it's the same mechanics as, well, it gets into the same mechanics. The start is different, obviously, coming out of batter's box, and then the 40-yard dash is a three-point stance. But once you get turned and going to where you're going, linear speed, straight ahead speed, it's the same mechanics. So those are the things that I teach, and I learned, you know, a heck of a lot. You know, that's why I ran such good 40 times. I was in track and football, then track, then football, then track, then football, just going year-round, you know, spring ball into track into fall ball. So I was ready when the 40, you know, when it was time to run those. So the mechanics, you can't talk enough about that. Just being able to have those, to be taught the correct way to come out. There's definitely little, I mean, you kind of, you know, when I was training Brian Keel, he's like, this is like when I got a golf lesson. He's like, there's just little things you need to tweak to get better. He's like, this feels like a golf lesson to me when we were going over his start. And so that's kind of what I do. And that's why I won races in college. That's why, you know, I was able to get out quick, was because of those mechanics. I've always naturally fast, but I had to hone those mechanics to be able to beat some of the faster guys in the country. So,
Ben, yeah. Ben, when I was in high school, I ran 100. And
100 yard or 100 meter?
100 yards back in there. The fastest I ever ran was 9.9 at Lehigh with a 40-mile-an-hour run.
That's fast. But that's plenty fast. That might have been a sub-11 right there.
That's pretty quick out of the blocks. And they used to have an invitation at Snow College. And I think I was a sophomore or a junior that year. And I was always pretty quick out of the gate. There's a lot of techniques he'll talk about. You've got to anticipate, number one. You've got to have a good body lean. You've got to have your hands in the right place. You've got to be ready to explode. I took off from the blocks, and two lanes over was a guy named Golden Richards.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Golden Richards, one of the greatest wide receivers ever to come through BYU.
As soon as I got out of my stance and got going, within a yard or so, he was 4 yards ahead of me.
Yeah.
He is the fastest guy I have ever seen. I mean, I've seen, you know, Assun Bolt and others, but he was a talented sprinter. He was amazing at Granite High School, I think.
Wow. Well, that's one of those things. Even my athletes that I train, I'll say, once you go to practice and see other kids running, you'll notice it now. Like, you'll see the difference. Like, it's kind of like I cringe when I go to a pro day and I see these really good athletes that are coming out a different way than I want them to. You know, and I haven't been able to train them. And there's little things that they could just work on at the start that would make them come out a lot.
Well, faster. I think it'd make a huge difference. I mean, you get football players that haven't run track, and I would imagine it would cost them at least maybe 0.2 seconds.
It could.
If you do not know how to run.
Right. It could. And when I ran for my, you know, the junior day, I guess we call it junior day, when the scouts were there for the seniors at BYU when I was a junior, you know, Coach Omer and Justin, and it was Dustin Staley, who was a GA at the time. They are testing out everybody else. And after I ran, and they said, I think you wrote an article on it. Like, they laughed at, you know, I had a 4.16, yeah, 4.18, and
there
4.19.
There was, yeah. And they had it on their clock.
So all my teammates are going, dude, what'd you do? I'm over there giving free 30-second lessons to everybody. I'm like, it takes a little bit longer than this to kind of figure it out. But I was just coming, again, straight from track. You know, track into it. So I was, you know, I was ready. And so I'm trying to show them, like, what to do. And
I remember when I reported it, nobody believed me.
Yeah.
They said, you're making it up.
There's no way.
You're making it up. No, I heard three guys with watches say, or whatever it was.
Yeah. And they were all giggling. Oh, my gosh. 4.2. Nate Solberg, former BYU defensive back and wide receiver, on with us here, Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Bronco Mendenhall in March announced that there will be another addition to the strength and conditioning team, and his name is Kevin Heiberger. Now, Kevin Heiberger specializes in speed and combine development. How much of a boon is that? I mean, I mean that would have been very beneficial for all of us. I mean, only recently do I think, you know, at least at BYU since like maybe 2010, have these young men really trained hard and understood exactly what they needed to do within those combine events. Like, and look, if you're training these combine events for these combine events throughout your entire collegiate career, just randomly, you know, each year annually, you're testing out. You will be ready.
It's huge.
You will have just cold-blooded veins when you step up there with all those stouts. And I'm not saying you're not going to be a little bit nervous, but if you've done it over and over again, that familiarity is just going to breed just success. It just will.
Well, think about an athlete, a football player, if he's all of a sudden the NFL wanted to see how you threw the javelin. You're just going to step up and throw that javelin? I mean, think about that. Like, it's the same thing. If you do a pro agility drill, when do you do the pro agility drill?
Like never.
Never. So it's you have to work on those things. I'm not gonna be able to go out. There's athletes that have done, you know, they travel around, even high school athletes that I train, they go to these combines back and forth, you know, California, here, wherever, and they don't get the mechanics of the pro agility. The easiest part of the pro agility to see if somebody's doing it correctly is if at the start they turn their shoulders and they run to that first 5 yards, or if they stay laterally. There's little things like that.
So which one's better?
Lateral.
Lateral all the
lateral.
Way, right?
Yeah. Not even a question.
Stay low, stay lateral.
Yeah, if you have to turn, run, run back against staying lateral and doing a half turn,
It's all about those transitions.
Yeah. If you look up all the three nines and all the low pro agilities, watch how they do it.
I feel like they also almost jump into it, like a little plyometric.
Yeah.
Bounce where you get like the spring going, right? You get this elasticity where, like, when I was watching Sky Povey, I think Sky and Rob Daniel and Jordan Leslie, you know, all did pretty dang well in that pro agility or even in the three cone. And something that all of them did, and I think in particular Sky Povey did, he was so efficient in that little, he stayed lateral, stayed low, would kind of bounce into it, plyometrically jump, going, like I said, laterally, touch, and then bounce out of it. So
it's all about angles. As he goes into that angle, that first touch, you have to be the proper, you know, close.
Your body weight has to be going the opposite direction.
Yeah, and if you're just going to run and touch a line and turn and run, like, it's not going to work for you. You got to learn about it.
Nate, we're up against a break. We'll continue. You can stick around for another segment. Nate Mickle still in the house.
Don't call me Nate Mickle.
Oh, I just called you Nate Mickle.
Don't call me Nate Mickle. I love Nate.
You should punch me. Nate Solberg.
So
much faster than Nate Mickle. Nate Mickle's quite quick. The reason why I called you Nate Mickle is because I'm always texting Nate Mickle.
Oh.
That's why. Solberg.
Text me more then.
Maybe I know. That's my bad. Nate Solberg in the house with Dick Harmon from the Deseret News. Dick Harmon from the Deseret News. We're watching a highlight video right now. We were just talking about speed. There's a young man that has committed to BYU. He's gone back and forth as far as the position is concerned. Why has he gone back and forth? Not because he's wanted to go back and forth, but because the coaching staff is going back and forth as to what position he's going to play, running back or defensive back. Initially, he was slated as a running back. Why? Because he played running back in high school and very little defensive back in high school. Yet, right now, I think he is slated as a defensive back. There's a lot of question marks in the running back spot as far as depth is concerned. Yeah, there's question marks in the defensive secondary, but you do have some young talent there. As I watch this highlight film, as I look at the most recent 200-meter performance from Riley Burt at a Box Elder High School, you have to put this kid at running back. He ran a 22.3 200. First off, how fast is that, Nate? At 6'2", what is he, 6'2", 200 pounds or so?
220.
Not 220. Zach, can I get a confirmation? 6'2", 195. 6'2", 195.
Okay, I was telling you guys in the break, my best 200 at BYU was 21.6. That was good for ninth in the Mountain West. Didn't even make the finals. And he's running, you know, I'm 6 feet. I was probably 175 when I ran that. At his age and his body type, that is great.
That's elite for
Utah High School. Yeah, if you're in the 21s and like he's close, the best ones in Utah run the high 21s, but with that body type, if they had a weight group for track, he would be top.
Yeah, that's pound really for good. Pound. Yeah, I mean with that size and you're running a 22.3, I think that's ridiculous.
I mean this guy's highlight film. He seriously is. Right now, he's Bo Jackson on Super Tecmo Bowl, you know?
is it for sure that he's going to be suited for defensive back? Is that where Bronco's been signing it? Have we heard that from Bronco? Have we heard that from the kid himself?
That's come from, you know, it's come back and forth. Initially, he was a running back, and then they told him that he was probably going to play defensive back. And now I think he's still slated as a defensive back. I don't know if there's anything that has changed. And it could
have
changed.
Has he said that they have told me I'm going to play defensive back in one of the articles that have come out or anything like that? Has he said that? Or
I'll try to find it. But according to my knowledge, he's slated as a defensive back on the depth chart, going into fall ball, according to my knowledge.
And Jamal, we're not sure.
And they have gone back and forth. Now, Jamal's coming off an ACL surgery. Algernon Brown is your only guy right now that is proven. Why? Because the other guy that is semi-proven, Adam Hine, is coming off an ankle surgery. And even then, is Adam Hine truly a running back? I think he's a return specialist on kickoff. That's what he is. He's a linear runner. He's not. You look at Riley Burt. This guy is multi-directional, great vision, and breaks tackles. Adam Hine is a linear off tackle or straight line guy. That's pretty fast. In high school, he ran like an 11-2, big-bodied kid that can jump real high, jumped like 7 feet. So you can put him on goal lines and have him leap over that line of scrimmage.
Day Carter had a good spring. Is he a candidate? Is he somebody they could use?
At 5'8", 175 pounds, what does Mark Yatawaya – how does Mark Yatawaya view Nate Carter? Mm-hmm. Does he trust him in pass pro? Does he trust him with ball security going against – Nebraska, going against Michigan, going against Boise State, that are going to be just raking that pocket. I like to change of pace, but you have to try to put yourselves in the coach's shoes and say, hey, how are they truly evaluating this young man? So I'm watching Riley Burt, and I'm looking at the depth at the cornerback spot. And granted, they struggled this spring ball. But do you really think a true freshman is going to be able to come in and compete with a guy like Micah Hanneman and surpass him? I doubt it. Or a Kamel Green from Washington State, a position that Riley Burt probably hasn't played a whole lot in his life, similar to, you know, when Nate Solberg was making that transition from wide receiver to defensive back. Remember when Curtis Brown, a great athlete, one of the best running backs in BYU history, you watch him try to backpedal? One of the worst, most awkward things. You're like, there's no way that guy's an athlete.
Or play basketball
for that matter. But you hand him a football, and it's natural. It just is.
That's why us talking in this room and looking at that highlight film and talking about the things that you just broke down, Ben, doesn't make sense. I wonder if I would like to confirm that they have him slated for defensive back. I'd like to hear it out of Bronco's mouth or his mouth that says, I have been told that I will be a defensive back, or they have. It's a lot different from saying they're discussing and considering that I'll play defensive back, as opposed to you will play defensive back, or, you know. So I kind of be wary of that, because looking at this highlight film, like you guys broke it down.
Zach, will you do me a huge favor?
It's unbelievable.
Check out on signing day what they had Riley Burt listed at, because so they had running back, defensive back. So they're still kind of, like I said, they're in between.
Looking at this kid. I don't want to make comparisons, but I'm going to make a comparison. Luke Staley, the size and the speed. He's not Luke Staley, don't get me wrong. But a running back at that size that has that speed and power, why would you make him run backwards?
Don't make him run backwards. Don't
let him hit somebody else.
Don't do that. That's like that's just torture.
It is. Don't do it.
Torture. Don't make him run backwards. Let him run forward. Let him be free.
Let him choose to run.
We have a malfunction with your phone.
No, somebody's hanging out me.
Oh, he's hanging out you? I don't know what that means. Is that
hangout?
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's like FaceTime.
Hanging out.
Yeah, we're hanging out. Why are they trying to hang out with you while we're doing this? While we're doing the show. By the way, Dick Harmon, you hear him and listen to him today, but also you read all of his articles from the Deseret News. Nate Solberg, not Nate Mickle, even though I love me some Nate Mickle, is on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Nate, I wanted to get your did you go to the Q&A, the alumni scrimmage that day?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Give me your evaluation, though, of the health of the program. You're a former player. You were there for, what, 4 or 5 years? Did you redshirt?
Yeah, 5 years.
Under the Croton and Bronco.
Under Lavelle.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're one of the last.
And Bronco.
One of the last Mohicans here that was able to experience Lavelle, Croton, and Bronco.
Check.
Just talk to me about...
Should we make a movie? I should make a movie.
You should. You should.
There's a movie right there.
Solberg's...
travels.
Solberg's Travels, I guess. Tell us about all three of those regimes and the current health and state of the program, in your opinion.
Lavelle is what you've heard of Lavelle, in my opinion, the golf cart master at practice. I didn't know... He wouldn't know me from Adam if I walked up to him and shook his hand. He called me Joel. I think I said that one time. He called me by the wrong name my first year, so I don't expect him to know who I am. I didn't play my redshirt that. Joel. I think he thought I was Joel Thieler. I don't know if you remember Joel Thieler out of Brighton. Anyway, so Lavelle, but I did love. I loved how he ran things. I loved, like, that's you know, going to BYU straight out of high school, that's the feel you got. I was like, oh, yeah, this is...
It was comforting.
It was comforting.
Right? You always felt like you were in a good place.
Yeah.
Like, with Lavelle at the helm.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great way to explain it. Come home from a mission to a staff I don't know, Coach Croton. They wrote me letters on my mission. Coach Borich wrote me letters because I was a receiver.
Yeah.
Came back to that. Reno ran the show when I got back. You know, he was the wideout that was the guy, and so I was there for that. But... Croton, I can't say anything bad about Coach Croton.
He's a good guy.
He's a really good guy. He's a good coach. There's definitely things about how he does things that are not even close to Bronco, maybe closer to Lavelle. But I don't know. I think the players respected him. I respected him. When Bronco came in as my sophomore year as a defensive coordinator, and it's not Bronco's fault. That's just how Bronco is. That's when things became black and white. That's when things became so different because of the way offense was run, because of the way defensive practice was run. But I think...
Did you ever want to go back to the offensive side of the ball during those defensive practices?
Yeah. Well, that's part of the riff, man, was looking over at Jake Caressa sipping on his pina colada while we're over there doing 70... I forget what they're called. Pursuits.
Oh, yes.
I've tried to get that out of my head by now, but I think that I think you know, being independent for a couple of years now, I think it's okay. Obviously, everybody wants to get in the conference, but the way the program's going, I hear everything from the old alumni that are upset to the newer alumni under Broncos, you know, saying, "What are you talking about? It's fine." I was there when Bronco got there, so. I feel like I know him a little bit better than some players do. He's grown a lot. I've been able to see that because I know how he was year one as a coordinator. He's so much different now. Just watching,
totally.
It's amazing to see like he's grown. He's changed things. I mean, people think it's kind of like you have to have a special invite to come up there and see the coaches. I mean, I had one of my wife's best friend's mom just died of leukemia, and Bronco is her. I mean, he's her number one fan. And I went up there just one day, took my daughter, waited for him to get out of a meeting with all the coaching staff, sat in the, you know, on the couches for 45 minutes, went into his office, told him the situation, said, "Hey, will you sign this? I want to give it to her." I said, "Will you talk to her?" I said, "Kind of film you saying hi to her." And he gave her like a 30-second spiel. And at the funeral, they talked about that. Like, they're like, "Thank you so much for doing that." Like, that is the kind of thing that people don't realize, and I don't want to throw things like that.
And Bronco doesn't want it publicized.
Right, exactly. And as much as he probably even, I don't know if he hated doing it, he seemed great. You know, he was fine just having me show up, and you can tell that once I got what I wanted, he wanted me out of there in a Bronco type of way, and I didn't want to be in there to ruffle his feathers, and he's got a, you know, a strict schedule. But that's the type of guy I know, and I feel comfortable going back to BYU and talking to either any of the coaches.
Three consecutive 8-5 seasons. Why? How? Is that okay? Is the program still healthy?
I don't know if that's okay. I played under three losing seasons and then got back to a a 500 record.
You were elated to go to a bowl game that year?
I was elated to go and try and bang heads with Marshawn Lynch.
And cover Deshaun Jackson.
And cover Deshaun Jackson. But yeah, those are things that you have to expect out of BYU. You have to expect, 8-5 or better. It's got to, that's got to be the bottom is around an 8-5 record.
There you have it. Nate Solberg, the fastest man on the track that also played football at Brigham Young University.
And I was there when he clocked a 4-1.
You were there.
I heard the guys naming it off on
the clock.
They
said 4-1.
There were multiple guys.
This was junior day.
Reported it. Everybody laughed, everything, but I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. I ran it. That's all I could do was just go run it.
He's lightning, white lightning, Nate Solberg. If you want to get faster, check out Utah Speed Academy. Is it utahspeedacademy.com?
Yeah.
Also on Facebook, you can check it out, Utah Speed Academy. Nate, we appreciate you coming and joining us. We're up against a break, but if we can do anything for you, let us know. Thanks for training my nephew.
No problem.
We got to get him to the elite level. Okay?
I'll just take 5% of his salary.
Signing
one day.
Bonus?
Yep. Just whenever it happens.
Whenever it happens. Let's hope it happens when he graduates from BYU after taking him to a national championship.